All right, Luke chapter 9. Let's go there. Luke chapter 9. This has been our kind of our key scripture. We've been kind of piggybacking from our Easter messages, his cross, our cross. And look, unfortunately, crosses are about death. They are. They're about death. And we've been learning. So Luke 9. They're going to have them behind me. You can follow along. And it says, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? And that's what we're doing. We're taking a journey together. I ask you to do that with me. Because we want to become more and more like Jesus, right? We want to come after him. We want to be like him. We want to talk like him. We want to act like him. We want to have the same attitude that Jesus does. Why? So when people look at us, they don't see Chris Mallett. They don't see Heidi Mallett, right? They don't see Jesse Mullins anymore. They don't even see Norman Perez. They see Jesus. Because you know what? I can't save anyone, but Jesus can. Jesus is life transforming. But we've learned that that is a hard journey. It's not an easy one because we're fighting our will, right? Because we know our will is controlled by our desires. That was the first message we looked at, right? Our will. And we've learned that the strongest desires tend to win. And our hope was let's make some lifestyle changes inside us that will hopefully start feeding our desire to follow Jesus and not feeding the other stuff. Because we know whatever we feed grows stronger. I mean, that just makes sense, right? And our actions have to mirror our words, right? Because words are cheap. But by looking at our actions, we will prove where our strongest desires are. Now, last week we learned that coming after Jesus will cost us. Right? It costs us everything. I mean, we looked at a lot of the scriptures actually from the Apostle Paul. Now, he was a great teacher, and he wasn't just like a lot of flowery words. He was a man who lived and just kind of taught by example. He taught and kind of transparently, right? I mean, he talked about some of the things that were going on in his life that he wasn't really proud of at all. I mean, our key scripture for that was Romans 7, verse 18. It says, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. And that's hard truth, isn't it? We don't like that scripture. But look, the sooner that we understand it, the sooner that we embrace it, and the sooner that we make changes in our life based on that, the closer that we get to Jesus. The closer that we become where we're walking in his image. And that means recognizing that we're nothing without God. Nothing. There's nothing good that dwells in us. We need to get as much of us out so we can get as much of Jesus in. And if that means sacrificing some things that we may consider pretty good, we're willing to do it even at the chance of getting more of Jesus in us. That's hard truth though, right? Because it's breaking our will, it's dying to the past, it's just feeding our relationship with God, because we know nothing good comes from us. It really only comes from Jesus. Now, why is that important? Because we read in Luke, right, that you could spend your entire life trying to fix things, and it says, and you end up losing it. Or you instead could spend your entire life dying to yourself, dying to your desires, dying to you, and end up saving yourself. So that's what we read, right? So today we're going to continue the journey. So the first journey of the step was being willing. The second one was denying yourself. Today's the third one. It's to take up our cross daily. And that's Luke 9:23. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So what I want to do first is Let's look at the words. We're going to look at the phrase that we're covering this morning, take up his cross daily. So first part, take up. In the Greek, you'll learn that a lot of these words are pretty closely translated. It means to lift, to take away with, to bear, to carry. It isn't something that's put on you. It's something that you voluntarily pick up yourself. And there's a big difference with that, right? Because remember on Easter, we talked about the fact that we all have burdens, right? We talked about that at Easter. And matter of fact, they're burdens that we didn't ask for, we didn't want. And matter of fact, we found that people want to put burdens on us. Have you noticed that? How many of you ever heard of the term guilt trip? You ever heard of that term before? That would be like here. Let me give you for example. Let's say that my birthday is on Saturday. Okay? And let's say my wife's not here, she's downstairs, so I can do this. All right, let's say that, I go to my wife and I say, my birthday's on Saturday. And you know how much I love carrot cake. Not just any carrot cake, but I like it with the cream cheese frosting, And she'd be like, yeah, I know. And what goes the best with that? She'd be like, let me guess, vanilla ice cream. I said, no, not just any vanilla ice cream. It's got to be Breyers vanilla bean. Don't ask me why, but the bean just makes it that much better. And I said, it would be great to have a cake like that. Now, that doesn't sound that bad, right? I wouldn't say that's a major guilt trip. But what if I kind of went a little further and said, and remember, last year, I didn't get a cake. I didn't. On my birthday, I didn't get a cake. Matter of fact, there was no cake. There was no ice cream. I don't even think I got any presents last year. I didn't. I don't think I got any of them. And I have to admit, I don't want to upset you, but I have to admit that kind of hurt my feelings. It did. And I just hope that I don't have to live with that experience this year. So that got a little worse, right? Well, what if I continued? And I don't want to hear that you're like busy this week, okay? Because, we're all busy. And what? Am I like not worth your time? Is it too much to hope for a birthday cake on your birthday? It's not like it's every day. Just like once a year. Look, if you loved me, yeah, I would go there. If you loved me, I would have a birthday cake. And it would be carrot cake with cream cheese frosting and Breyers vanilla bean ice cream. Now, Jesus doesn't do that, though. He doesn't. He has a desire to have a relationship with us. He does. But see, he isn't into the guilt and manipulation. That's just not how Jesus works. Jesus leaves the decision in our hands. So when he asks us to take up, he doesn't put it on us. He asks us to pick it up. That's a voluntary act. All right, so it's take up his. Now, in the Greek, it literally means his own, theirs. But the point of it is that it's no one else's but yours, okay? The cross that God asks us to carry, it's specifically created for you. God knows the weight, he knows the dimensions, he knows basically the amount of strength that would be necessary in order for you to carry it. He does. Matter of fact, God designed it specifically for you. And it's important that we pick up the cross that's labeled for us. It's important to not try to carry someone else's cross. You carry the cross that God created for you. It would be like, for example, trying to walk in someone else's shoes. Now, I'm a size 10. Now, let's say I tried to walk in someone else's shoes that were a size 12. Can I walk in them? Yes. If I do it for a while, what am I probably going to get? Blisters, probably big ones. Why? Because my feet are going to be rubbing all over the place, the ball of my feet, maybe near the heel, or that arch part, where it kind of like, and after a while, what would happen? It would become very painful to walk in those shoes the bigger and the bigger the blisters got. It'd be the same way too. Let's say I'm a size 10, but somebody gave me a size 7 to borrow, and I shove my feet inside of those if I could, and I try to walk around in those shoes. If it's that big of a difference, I probably would cut off the circulation of my feet. I'd be walking like weird. One thing I've learned is that if you're walking wrong, it's going to damage your foot. Matter of fact, it may not even just damage your foot. It may damage your ankle. It could damage your knee because you're walking different. You actually will injure your other parts of your leg by doing that. But you know, the interesting thing is, because I go to tag sales a lot, one thing I've learned is don't buy used shoes at tag sales. I'll tell you that. Don't buy them. You know why? Because when you wear a shoe, even if it's the same size, your foot will adapt to the shoe. The shoe actually conforms to the shape of your foot. So I'm a size 10. Even if someone else is a size 10, if they wear that shoe for a while, that shoe will then will adjust to the shape. So maybe they have a wider foot. Maybe they have like little to no arch. That shoe will adapt to it. And if you try to wear someone else's shoes, it actually will hurt your feet. Your feet, it has the potential of causing foot problems. You learn something. But that is a good lesson for us. You know, do not wish you had someone else's cross. You don't want someone else's cross. Even if it seems that their cross is easier than yours, you don't want it. God knows what we need, right? He knows what we can handle. He knows what we need, and it's God who gives us the grace and the strength to carry the cross that he has prepared specifically for us. Because you got to remember, his goal is to grow us in character, right? His goal is to make us more like his son, Jesus. So take up his cross. And it's exactly what you would think it would be. The cross, it's a pole or a cross used for capital punishment. Matter of fact, to the disciples who Jesus was talking to, as soon as Jesus said cross, they knew exactly what it was. Matter of fact, I mean, because they remember they were under Roman occupation. We talked about this during Easter. If they saw someone walking down the road carrying a cross, they knew it wasn't an if, it was a when. They were going to die. And matter of fact, it would normally be on a very well-traveled road, very visible. They wanted people to see. And that's what the Romans did. It was intentionally. They wanted to make it a burden, and not just a physical burden. They wanted everyone to see. They wanted it to be in a mental and emotional. Their goal wasn't just to break you physically. Their goal was to break you completely. That was their goal. So Jesus, when he was telling this to his disciples, they understood the cost that Jesus was talking about when he talked about cross. Jesus wasn't asking them just to die physically to carry their cross. He was asking them to die completely. But this cross was the same cross that Jesus carried. I mean, that's why we died to our past. That's why we have to. It's so our will only be alive in Jesus. That's why. That's why we understand that there's nothing good in us. Because only with Jesus can we do anything. We choose to live our life the way that Jesus lived his life. Jesus died for all of us, right? So what Jesus is asking us to do is to choose to die for everyone as well. But see, the cost of the cross is high. It's not small. But see, if you haven't done those first two steps, dying to your will and dying to yourself, if you haven't done those two steps, it actually becomes much harder to carry your cross. Because look, these are some of the costs that you will carry when you pick up your cross. Look, people that you love, people that you have close relationships with, they may not believe what you believe. I can promise you that the world will criticize you for what you believe. I can promise you that will happen. You will have to lay down all the comforts of this world. God asks you to do that. You have to sacrifice all, everything. Entertainment, family, friends, you name it. If you're going to pick up your cross, you are sacrificing all. You have to become 100% dependent on God. 100%. Look, you have to become 100% obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Whatever he asks you to do, you have to be willing to do. These aren't small costs. You are asked to share the gospel no matter how unpopular it is. No matter how unpopular it is in your culture, in your community, wherever God's placed you, he's going to ask you to share the gospel. He is. This is true. You may walk a path of loneliness for a while. It may be a short period of time. It's possible it might be a long period of time. We don't know the cross that God sometimes asks us to carry. We don't. People may curse you and make fun of you because of what you believe or the things that you talk about. True? Some of you have noticed that. You may pour out your life for other people and you'll never see the fruit of it. How frustrating is that? You may give and give and give into that person and never see the fruit, at least here on earth. You may never see the fruit from it. You may be asked to give the ultimate sacrifice to the point of death. Thankfully, we really haven't dealt with that in America, but I can tell you other countries have. Do you know, though, there is a way of making the cost of carrying the cross seem lower? To make it seem less, to make it seem not as heavy. Do you want to know what it is? You don't want to know? Okay. I can skip that part if you really want me to. Well, look, you want to make it lighter? Surrender your life to Jesus. See, the cost will not seem as high. Why? Because you love Jesus more than all the other things. And you know what? Making Jesus happier is, as long as you're making Jesus happy, you really don't care about the other stuff because you love Jesus more than anything at all. That is why Jesus says, take my cross upon you, because it can be light. It's easy. Because the closer and the better relationship that you have with God, the more that you've surrendered your life to Him, it won't matter to you if other people are making fun of you. It won't matter if people disagree with you. It won't matter if you don't see the fruit. All you'll care about is, am I serving God? Am I doing what He's asked me to do? Is Jesus happy with me? He's happy with me? All right, then I can make it. I can do this then. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's easier. But see, if you're always looking back, if you're always like wondering, you know, what's going on, if you're not looking forward and marching, that's a heavy cross, isn't it? That's a heavy cross. All right, so take up His cross and follow me daily. It's an interesting word. The word daily, it is kind of what you would expect it to be. It's the time between dark and dawn. Literally, it means a full 24-hour period. What this means, no vacations from the cross. No vacations. Your job is to pick it up and carry it every single day. Not just Sunday mornings, every single day. It's interesting. Luke is the only one who adds the word daily. Matthew and Mark, same verse, they don't add that in there. I actually like it. To me, it's a good reminder for those of us who live in this life. You know what I've learned? Is that we need a constant reminder because what I've noticed is some people quit and they put their cross down. I need the reminder. Too often, especially in the culture that we live in, commitment is at an all-time low. Have you noticed that? Commitment. There's no such thing. Look, if things are hard, quit. That's what the world kind of says, right? You know, if you don't like it, try something else. Just the way it is. I mean, look, if you're not having fun, stop. Don't do it anymore. If it's painful, run from it. I mean, literally run. Isn't that kind of the model the world has shown us? I mean, why do you think divorce rates are so huge? Look, have you noticed that I've noticed a lot of people aren't even getting married anymore. They've actually, in their minds, they've decided, why bother getting married? Because it's going to end anyway. So let's just not even get married. Let's just kind of live together. And it makes things easier when, not if, but when we break up. Right? I mean, even friendships, have you noticed they're dropped so quickly? I mean, I hear that from my kids all the time that, you know, the boyfriend, girlfriends, they'll last for like a week or two, you know, and then they're done, they're gone. That's the generation that we live in. Actually, you know, gone is the day that you graduate from college, you go get that job at that one company, you work there for 30 to 40 years, and then you retire. That doesn't happen anymore, does it? Matter of fact, you're a long-term employee if you've been there for 5 years. 5 years, you're like a senior guy. You're like the highest level. You've been here 5 years? Wow. You're almost looked at with esteem. But look, the same commitment that we see in our culture, it's in the church. It is. Look, I will often see people who will come to church. They will attend for about a month or two. Then all of a sudden, they're gone. I don't know what happened. They left. And then, you know, 6 months later, they come back. I'm like, where'd you come from? Or where did you go during that six-month period? Well, what happened? And then they'll come for another 3 or 4 weeks, and then they'll be gone again. And I'll be like, oh, well, I guess they'll be back in 6 months. I don't understand that. That doesn't make sense. I'll have people who will be here for like a year or more. I mean, they're members. And then all of a sudden, boom, they just stop coming. No explanation, no reason. And most of the time, I honestly never find out. They just stop. Look, our relationship with God, it's a daily journey. It is. It's a daily journey. You can't approach it the way the world approaches life. You can't. We should approach it like a true marriage, right? I mean, look, love and commitment is what a marriage is based on a daily basis. And trust me, it's got to be daily. It can't be weekly. It can't be monthly if you want a marriage to work. What were our marriage vows? I mean, for those of you who are married, what? Richer for poorer, in sickness and in health, you know, in what, good times and in bad times, till death. Do we see that in the world anymore? That's rare, isn't it? That's rare. Look, we're calling the world to commit their lives to Jesus, aren't we? That's what we're asking them. We're saying no. And we're not saying give God a good 5 years. Let's give him a good run. But if we aren't modeling that ourselves, how do we expect the world to follow our example? We won't want them to follow our example, right? That's good preaching. That is. I'm not hearing anything, but it is good, and you need it. Take the sugar with it. All right, so what is your cross? So what is your cross? Look, the cross that we take, that we carry, it's unique to our journey. It really is. It isn't a one-size-fits-all cross. It's really not. We all go through different things in life. Have you noticed? We are different people. And you know what? That changes what Laura can handle versus what Hope can handle. They can handle different things. Why? Well, we have different personalities, right? We have different experiences in life. We have different families and countries and cultures and lifestyles. We've gone through different things. So there are some things that are much easier for me to carry than for you. There are some things that are a lot harder for me to carry than it is for you to carry, just because of how God's designed us. And look, trust me, God understands that. He does. And look, God is not out to frustrate you. God is not, his goal in life is not to hurt you. His goal is to purify you. That's his goal. His goal is to help you become as close to his son, Jesus, as he possibly can. So if you want to figure out what your cross is, you're going to need to answer a few questions. Like, for example, what exactly is God asking you to carry? I mean, do I always carry the same cross? How do I know if I'm even carrying my cross? Now, if you're like me, when you hear questions like that, you know what my initial answer usually is? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, sometimes I feel like I know what God's asking me to carry. Have you noticed that? Sometimes you kind of like, yeah, all right, I know what I'm doing. Then it could be like a couple days later where I'm like, I'm lost. I'm like, man, I thought I was supposed to be carrying this, and now I'm not 100% sure what's going on in my life. And you know what, even kind of when I feel like I've found that purpose, or this is what I'm doing, sometimes, you know, I'm unsure if I'm even carrying it. Or am I doing, and I know what my purpose is, but am I actually carrying the cross that God asked me to? Or maybe am I just dragging it? I mean, sometimes I feel like I'm just dragging the cross along. Sometimes I almost like want to look at my hands, and I feel like my hands would probably are covered with splinters because the cross literally has slipped out of my hands. It's on the ground. And it fell out of my grasp. And I'm just like, what do I do? Have you ever felt that way in your life? Well, look, we said together that we would walk this journey together. So how about we answer these questions and let's see where the road takes us. So What exactly is God asking you to carry? Well, my question to you is, what has God brought you through? What has he brought you through? Through his cross, Jesus purchased our forgiveness. He purchased our freedom. He purchased our healing, right? The cross you carry is all that God has done for you and has brought you through. It is your gospel. It is your witness. It is the witness on how big of a God you serve. That's the cross. Look, and the cross sometimes can be really heavy things, right? It could be things like a broken childhood. It could be abuse, abandonment. It could be divorce. And you'd be like, well, Pastor, why would we carry those things? Because those are the things that you've been set free from. Those chains are broken. They don't have any more power over you. They are the testimonies that were once bound to you, but now you're able to use those testimonies to set other people free. That's why. Look, the cross can be really good things too. It could be the best friend. It could be that incredible vacation. It could be maybe a short-term missions trip. It could be something as small as maybe it's a Little League World Championship that you won. Maybe you graduated top of your class. Look, those are all things that belong on that cross too. Because look, without God, you can't do those things. Those things, those don't happen. Those are there because they're God-designed events in your life. And you know what? We sacrifice each one of those on our cross, right? Because look, we love God more. He's the most important thing in our life. They're a part of the testimony that we share to other people about what God has brought us through, the good and the bad, every area of our life. I've also learned the cross, it's full of, have you noticed growth and change? I mean, they may not even necessarily be good or bad kind of things, and it kind of depends on your perspective. Because at one point, you may have thought of it as a really good thing, but you look at it later and you're like, that wasn't a good thing. Or vice versa, you may say, that was a horrible thing. A year later, you're like, all right, that actually was a good thing in my life. If you notice, growth and change. See, it could be when God asked you to wait, don't get married to that person. It could have been, no, don't take that job. Or it may have been, no, take that job now. I know you don't want it, but take it anyway. It could be when your parents move to a different town. You are now at a different school with different friends. It was change. It was growth. It could be those times where, it could be the times when you were sick. You had a disease. God may have healed you immediately, right? And you know what? That goes on the cross because it was nothing that you could have done. God could have asked you on a daily basis to walk in faith, believing every single day for that miracle. That goes on the cross. God's with you every step of that journey. It's each one of those events that become the gospel message that's inside of you that you share with those that need to know just how great your God is. So do I always carry the same cross? Well, you know what I've learned? Crosses we carry are different and change as life goes on. Have you noticed that? I mean, our crosses can become so light. You know, when God is doing miracle after miracle in our life, have you ever had those times in your life where you're just kind of floating like a cloud? God just seems to be ordering your steps and wow, this is incredible. Look what God's done. Then you have other times in your life where it just seems so heavy, right? It's a storm and look, truth be told, we get our eyes off him. God says, no, keep your eyes on me. Peter takes eyes off God, starts to sink, right? But see, God always proves faithful, right? When we turn our eyes back to him, he's right there. He's right there waiting for us. See, the cross we take up and share with those that we find on the journey, you will see it will change from time to time. It will. But there's one thing that always remains the same. Who always remains the same? Jesus. I mean, remember his promise? That's actually Hebrews 13, verse 8. His love doesn't change. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. It's a promise you should memorize. You should be living your life based on it. Trust me, you want him not to change. You want him to be the same.
His love is always more than enough. The experiences that God have, that God asks us to walk through, the crosses we carry, they all point to the fact that Jesus, same, takes care of us. God is good. God is caring. God is loving. God never fails. Do you want that to change? No. So how do I know if I'm even carrying my cross? Because the truth is we put the cross down from time to time, don't we? Because it's voluntary, right? God doesn't make us carry the cross. So that kind of makes it a hard question, doesn't it? Because we all carry a different cross. Jesus carried his, right? It was through the cross that Jesus, he purchased our love. He purchased forgiveness. He purchased our freedom. He purchased those things, right? That's why we're glad he stays the same. He wiped our slate clean. But see, the only way that he could carry it was to the end, was to die. But Jesus looked at us and he said, you know what? You're worth that. You're worth me dying for. So, Pastor, how do we know if we're carrying our cross? I guess what I would ask you is, what have you been carrying into the different relationships that God has placed into your life? Do you carry his love? Do you carry his forgiveness? Do you carry his freedom? Look, do you look to love people no matter the cost? Even the unlovable, even the ones that don't deserve it, even the ones who went out of their way to be evil to you. They treated you completely unfair, and everyone would look and say, yup, they did. They treated you bad. Do you carry the always patient, always kind, keeps no record of wrongs, believes the best in people, the never failing love to every relationship that God brings in your path, or only the easy ones? Only the ones that people treat you that way as well. Well, let me ask you this. Do you look to forgive people even when they don't even ask you for forgiveness? The way that Jesus did. Because remember, he died on a cross before you said you were sorry. He died on a cross for everything, knowing that some people would never, ever ask for forgiveness. He said, you are worth it anyway. So no matter what people have done, no matter what they've said, do you still forgive them? I mean, do you look to free people from whatever has them chained in life? It might be a bad relationship. Yeah, but they deserved it. They got in that relationship. Maybe poor financial decisions. Pastor, look, it's their own fault that they're poor. If they had made this better decision and that decision, financial problems. Maybe it's just sickness, disease. They're chained. Look, Jesus carried his cross for our freedom. He broke the power of sin and death in our life. Do we look to free people from those same chains? Or just the ones that have earned that right in our life? Look, if you want to know if you're carrying your cross, I guess my question to you is, what do you bring into the relationships that God has placed all around you? Look, we may try to live life alone. We might. But that's not what God wants. Never designed it that way. He wants us to live life with other people. If you aren't bringing love, forgiveness and freedom into other people's lives like Jesus brought into yours, I guess it's time for you to pick up your cross. Now I want to end this message with, my wife tells me now it's one of her favorite chunks of scripture. She said that she wants to write it down so she can read it often. That's usually a good sign. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to read about 10 verses for you. It's a pretty good size. Now, listen to the words. And like I said, read it with me, because you'll be able to kind of see it reads well in this version. It says, if you only look at us you might well miss the brightness. We carry this precious message around in the unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. That's to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us. As it is, there's not much chance of that for you yourselves, for you know for yourselves that we're not much to look at. We've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down, but we haven't broken. What they did to Jesus, they do to us. Trial and torture, mockery and murder. What Jesus did among them, he does in us. He lives. Our lives are at constant risk for Jesus' sake, which makes Jesus' life all the more evident in ours. While we were going through the worst, you're getting in on the best. We're not keeping quiet about this, not on your life. Just like the psalmist who wrote, "I believe it, so I said it." We say what we believe. And what we believe is the one who raised up the Master Jesus will just as certainly raise us up with you alive. Every detail works to your advantage and to God's glory. More and more grace. More and more people. More and more praise. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside, it often looks like we're falling apart on us. On the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. See, the cross we carry is everything that God's done for us. Everything he's done. It's your witness to a lost and dying and hungry world. Look, we live our lives, as the scriptures kind of say it, as ordinary containers, plain and ordinary ones, that you know what? But we're full of God, and he uses us to pour out over a world that desperately needs to hear him. Gifts, we don't even deserve these gifts. And honestly, we see this, we're pouring out gifts on people that don't deserve it either. It's the undeserved pouring out on the undeserved. But that's the beauty of the cross we carry, isn't it? It's like the one that Jesus carried because it cost him everything. And the cross that we carry, if it's the one that Jesus gives us, it will cost us everything too. You see, there's a hurting world that needs what we have. They need what you're carrying. What has Jesus done for you? That's the cross you carry to the world. What if we prayed this way? What if we literally said, "Heavenly Father, help me to see those that you found worth dying for, and let me sacrifice my life for them the same way you did for me." Can you imagine the world, the view of the church maybe changing a little? Where we weren't so quick to hide our imperfections. We were willing to say, "Yep, imperfect dude," but full of the power of the Holy Spirit who's life-changing. And because of him, we've been set free. And yeah, I was there with you. I was abandoned too. No, I went through that divorce. No, I went through that addiction. I went through that. And you know what? God freed me. Those chains are no longer, I'm no longer bound. I've been set free. So you know what? Don't completely forget what God's done for you. Because that's your testimony. That's your word to other people who says, no, there's more for you. No, there's a better way. No, I know a Savior, and He died for you. He gave up everything for you. And you know what? You don't think there's any hope. But with God, all things are possible. That's why we can't live life alone. That's why you can't just, no, it's just me and God. That's why, get out of your house. Go meet people. Be around them. Let them see you. Not the you want them to see. Take the mask off. Allow them to see the true you that's inside there. Yeah, it's not perfect, but it's becoming it. Yeah, it's got some rough edges, but you know what you said, Master Jesus? You can take the sandpaper. Yup, take the scalpel. Oh, you want that? And if I get rid of that, that means that I can put more of you inside of me. If I get rid of that, all right, I'll do that. Because we're feeding those desires. Can you imagine your workplace? Can you imagine your school? Can you imagine your neighborhood? Can you imagine what God can do with that type of heart? And it's not perfect. Because you know what? You'll have to finally admit sometimes, no, I was really a jerk Monday morning. Yeah, sorry. Woke up wrong side of the bed. But God's not done with me yet. And I'm going to get there. I'm sorry. I own it. But God is going to help me change. Isn't, look, that will do so much more than just, here's some free brownies for you. Look, I like brownies. Brownies ain't going to save someone's soul. Life-changing words from God will. The brownies may open the door, right? But if you're not going to speak words of life into it, I'm going to end with a testimony. I wasn't even going to share this. It was Wednesday because you were at worship, right? I was picking you up. I had to go pick up Philip from worship practice on Wednesday. And it's funny, I just kind of felt to leave early. I don't know why, but I just kind of, and Sharon was like, you don't have to leave yet. I'm like, that's all right. I'll just go. So I went early, and I noticed that I'm almost empty on gas. I'm like, oh, that's fine. I can just stop at the Sunoco on the way to church. I'll get fill up, and actually it'll save me a trip the next day. I won't have to do it. So I get there and I'm filling up, and there's a car, like I'm here, you know, over there, there's another car with a, looks like a guy in his early 20s. Just there, and I'm just pumping my gas, and he goes, excuse me, he goes, I don't want to be that guy, but can I have some change? I mean, I'm trying to get over to Colchester. I'm going to drive to my parents, and do you got any, could you spare any? And so I'm like, all right, let me finish filling up, and I'll come on over. And so, it was funny. And I'm telling you, were it not for some of these messages, I would have just blown this off. So in my mind, you know what immediately I'm saying? I'm like, God, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to say, God? Come on. You know, I'm thinking, all right, is this a good 2-minute testimony time? I'm going through my toolbox. I'm seeing like, all right, what do I got? And I am. And this is what you should be doing. I'm going through my toolbox. I'm like, and then the devil tried to ruin it right then and there. Because you know what I saw? He was sitting in his car and I saw a puff of smoke come out of it. And I'm like, my flesh said, really? Oh, he could afford cigarettes? But he can't afford gas? So, and immediately, like a smack upside the head said, don't you dare judge him. You love him. You preached about lavish love, lavish. So I'm like, all right. So I finished filling up. I walked over, stuck out my hand, said, I'm Chris. He goes, I'm Chandler. I said, all right, well, let me take care of you. So did the card, and I'm in my mind, I'm like, God, what do you want me to say? I mean, you know, I don't want to just fill the guy's gas and leave. I mean, that's like handing someone brownies at work and just running off. I want to do more. I got to up my game. My goal here is life change, not just to make people happy. I don't want him to think, dude, I met this guy, Chris, and he's a really good guy. That's not going to change anything. So I'm pumping his gas, and I just started talking with him. Chandler, and okay, what are you doing? And, oh, you know, visiting your parents, okay, and, oh, your daughter's there. And I saw a girl in the front seat, and he said, that's my girlfriend. I said, well, is the, you know, and yeah, I'm pastor. So I,
You know me. I'm prying away, baby. Like I said, your personal life is not personal because your relationship with God is eternal. So, sorry. Nothing's off limits because I want you to go to heaven someday. So I'm like, well, you know, so is that the mom? You know? Well, that's my fiance, and yes, it's the mom. I said, well, what's your daughter's name? Autumn. So we're talking. Thankfully, he's got a big tank. It was like a $50 bill. I mean, it was a big tank of gas. It was much more than my Kia Soul, I'll tell you that. So I'm still pumping away. And then I finally said, you know, Chandler, I'm a minister, and you know what? If God could do anything in your life right now, what could he do? Because I said, because I want to pray for you. And he looks at me and he goes, well, I'm about to drive off to Utah for a rehab because I need to deal with some issues in my life. You know me. Why? What's the addiction? What are you addicted to? He goes, heroin. And but I need to get my life straight. And my parents were willing to fund this to help me go out to Utah, and that's what I'm addicted to. And so I said, all right. And so by then the gas tank's full. And I said, well, can I pray for you? And he said, yeah. And I could see the girl kind of like looking in. And I said, you can close the door. It's okay. You can tell her later. And so I just started praying. And just honestly, I'm praying, prophesying over him. I'm saying, God, I know you have a plan and a purpose for Chandler, and I pray for his daughter, Autumn, and I'm calling down, and I got one shot. So I'm doing everything I can. I am pouring as much of God into this person, because I may never see this guy again. But you know what? I don't care. I want God inside of him, and you know what? That's someone's son and daughter. You know what? That could be someone's mom who one day says, I don't even know who the guy is. There's a preacher whose name is Chris, and somehow he spoke a word of prophecy and promise over my son, and it changed his life, and now he's living for God. And I looked at him when I was done, and I said, Chandler, I expect to see you again someday. I said, I don't know if you'll be driving through Cromwell Middletown or some other place, but I'm going to see you again, and I'm going to ask how Chandler is doing, and I'm going to ask how your daughter Autumn is doing. Because God has a plan and a purpose for you. And I refuse to believe anything otherwise than that. That's how our lives got to be. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a pretty outgoing guy. Years ago, I wouldn't have done that. Because you know what? I would have saw the smoke and every self-righteous thing would have came up inside me and said, psh, he made his bed, he can lie in it himself. He's got tattoos on his arm. Well, use your tattoo. I mean, I would have gone and look, I like tattoos now. I think they're actually kind of cool looking. He had piercings all over his face. And you know what? If you want that, look, I've even asked my own kids, are you guys ever going to do that? Oh, yeah, pastor said that to his kids. Ooh, I know I scared some of you parents there. But you know what? I've learned that we're just ordinary vessels, kind of plain looking. But you know what? Inside of us is the power of the Holy Spirit that if we're willing to step out in faith and inject it into people's lives, their lives will never be the same. But you know what? If you have not prepared the inside to be ready to pour out on those who need it, undeserved, he did not deserve my money. But God said he was worthy. God said he was worth dying for. So you know what? I died today. I died on Wednesday evening because I said, you know what, you're worthy. Because my Savior said, you're worthy. That's the journey we're taking. So, let's recap. I know I kept you 5 minutes. That was a longer testimony than I thought. Let's recap. Are you willing? Deny yourself. Voluntarily pick up your cross. Next week, we'll learn how to follow him. Okay, amen? Amen. Why don't you stand?